Welcome to Bible Study with Jairus, brought to you by Jairus Bible World Ministries. Do not be afraid, only believe. Brother Jairus leads a Bible study group in Chinese every week, and the Holy Spirit often speaks to people during these meetings. We felt compelled to share some of the revelations we received from the Holy Spirit, and we hope these studies will reach and benefit more listeners. All scripture is quoted from the English Standard Version, unless otherwise noted. Thank you for joining us. Bible Study with Jairus, Romans 13. God's Will for Believers and Politics. Romans chapter 13 is about obedience to authority. Paul tells us that all authority is given by God, and that we must submit ourselves to those who govern us. If we resist authority, we resist God, because God has set up authority to punish evildoers on God's behalf. If we do good, we don't have to be afraid. Paul also notes that we must pay taxes, because the ruler is God's servant. Jesus also said, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Matthew 22:21. The words of Jesus have been interpreted in different ways throughout the ages. Some have used them to argue that Christians should not participate in politics. This will be our study focus today. How on earth do you understand what's being said here? First of all, the truth has two sides, and we must deal with each side in a balanced way. Although we should obey those in power, the premise is that those in power are doing what God wants them to do, such as maintaining social justice and punishing wrongdoers. But if the authorities persecute Christians by saying that they cannot believe in the Lord or preach the gospel, this is a violation of higher authority. God's word charges us to preach the good news to all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, throughout the ages, many people have disobeyed the orders of those in power by preaching the gospel. Second, regarding understanding Jesus' words, Christian participation in politics also needs to be considered with a balanced principle. Let's start by looking at some different historical interpretations of whether Christians should participate in politics. First, let's look at the Amish, the Anabaptist view. I live in Maryland. There is a large Amish population in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, about an hour north of us. Over the years, we have taken Bible study group members and non-believing friends on trips to Amish museums and the exhibits of life-size models of tents built by Mennonites. The Amish and the Mennonites are both Anabaptists, but the Amish are more isolated. They don't accept other people or modern things, such as electricity and cars. The Mennonites are more open to other people and modern things. According to what we were told in a tour of the museum, the Amish see modern electricity, cars, and the like as evil, so they still drive wagons and run farms for a living. Students are expected to attend school only through middle school, and there's only one class in a community. Younger and older children alike have classes in one classroom. This is what I picked up from the tour guide at the museum, and it may not be 100% correct. The Anabaptists came into being during the Reformation period in Europe. They opposed both Catholicism and Martin Luther's Reformed Church, because both Catholics and the Reformed Church advocated infant baptism. The Anabaptists, on the other hand, believed that you have to truly be saved and baptized after you become an adult. So you have to wait to be baptized. Since many people had been baptized as infants, they started the practice of being baptized after being saved as adults, hence the name Anabaptist. The Amish have chosen to live in isolation, avoiding electricity, cars, and politics. William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, was a Christian who was forced out of England because he was persecuted by the State Church of England. It is said that his father, who was rich, bought him a piece of land in Pennsylvania and said, "You can go to America and do whatever you want." William Penn made Pennsylvania a land of diverse Christian denominations, including Amish and Quakers. American society also protects the rights of the Amish, who are said to pay no taxes and do not serve as soldiers. In the process of evangelization in Europe, there were many brutal wars, so Christians suffered a lot in the military. Therefore, the Amish also choose not to serve in the military. The Anabaptists do not promote active participation in politics and stay away from modern things of society. To some extent, these practices keep them away from the evil of the world. But the evil is definitely not only in these modern civilizations. Evil is in the human heart. I do appreciate the Amish's willingness to abandon modern civilization and live a simple life so they can focus more on the Bible and their faith. But most people agree that such an approach is not a good way to have a positive influence in this world. Second, let's move on to the point of view of the local church movement, where I was saved. In an article titled Attitudes of Local Churches to Authority and Politics, we find the following statement. We believe that churches should have no share in, participate in, or influence politics on the ground, but should operate as a purely faith body under the rule of law of government. The church should be holy of God and for God. As for the participation of individual Christians in political activities, the church does not support or oppose it. The local church movement does not object to individual involvement in politics, seeing it as a personal issue. They also believe that the church is spiritual and should not engage in worldly politics. In particular, the local church movement has drawn lessons from many difficulties brought about by the mingling of church and state in history. They have made the church less spiritual but more worldly. Therefore, they advocate that churches should not participate in politics. This view is not only the view of the local church movement, but is also held by many churches and pastors, since they see how politics can tear the church apart. Some pastors even prohibit the church members from talking about politics in the church. However, this does not solve the problem. This problem still divides churches and Christians alike. A WeChat post in Chinese I read earlier says that President Lincoln was asked if he thought God was on his side during the Civil War. President Lincoln said, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." To a certain extent, this post reflects the attitude of some believers in the churches I mentioned toward politics. They are more spiritual and don't express their positions on controversial political issues. Instead, they hide their political opinions in a spiritual cocoon and say they want to remain one with God. But knowing exactly what the will of God is depends on the individual and the Lord. To me, it is kind of confusing. One of my fellow members of our Bible study group was confused as well. He asked me, since some Christians say God chose Trump and others say God chose Biden, who did God really choose? I told him that one side must be wrong, as God is not a schizophrenic. The view in this social media post does reflect the common view that God is sovereign, so whoever is sitting in the office is what God chooses or allows. This view dictates that as Christians, we just accept whoever it is. This view is criticized by many as being too passive. Third, let's look at the theological liberal view of politics. Liberal theology was influential from Europe all the way to the United States. Theologians from Friedrich Daniel Ernst Schleiermacher in Germany to Paul Johannes Tillich in the United States are representatives of liberal theology. Liberal theology was in part an attempt to explain theology in contrast to science, or to build a bridge between the rapid development of science and the somewhat stale theology of that time. But liberal theology went to the extreme of disbelieving the authority of the Bible, even accepting homosexuality and so on. Fundamentalism is a reaction to the overrun of liberal theology. It emphasizes the supreme authority of the Bible and the basics of Christian values. Randy Clark, the founder of Global Awakening and the Randy Clark Scholars Program at the United Theological Seminary that I am now part of, attended a liberal seminary, but later in his ministry switched to more conservative and miraculous positions. He recalls that by the time he attended the liberal seminary, he had almost ceased to believe in God. It was only because he had experienced God's miraculous healing after being in a car accident that he had not lost his faith. He criticized liberal theology for the damage it did to seminary students, but he affirmed that one of its merits is concerning social justice and helping the poor. He says caring for the poor and social justice is a constant focus of God in the Old Testament. On this point, conservative churches can still learn from the churches that hold more liberal views. The conservative churches can do more to advocate for social justice and to help the poor. This type of liberal theology includes the social evangelicals that were once popular in Europe and America. The so-called social gospel was also popular in China in the 1940s. They advocated participation in social reform and social relief. They advocated breaking down the systemic injustices of society to help the poor. They wanted to be helpful in the world, but gradually forgot that the church is not of the world. It went too far and gradually lost the spiritual position of the church. Many of these Christian organizations gradually degenerated themselves into welfare institutions. In other words, they are in the world to the point of being of the world. If you look at the YMCA, which was once a powerful organization of evangelism, you now see a community center for sports. This is also the case for the Salvation Army and many other organizations. Therefore, the local church movement has borrowed from the failings of the social gospels in an effort to avoid becoming secular welfare organizations. It is said that in the early gospel meetings in Taiwan, the local church movement publicly declared that their churches did not provide free rice or other welfare, like many other churches do, but only provided pure gospel. The number of people at the next meeting was greatly reduced. It's obvious that the local church movement attaches great importance to the purity of the church, and for this purpose, they do not advocate the church's participation in politics. Fourth, we will look at the views of the African American church on politics. Our course on church history at the United Theological Seminary included a special course on the history of the African American church in the United States. So I have a slight understanding of the history of the African American church. The history of the African American church has been one of blood and tears. From the first African American slave secretly learning the Bible and praying, to the rise of African American pastors and churches, and the persecution from mainstream churches, to the later civil rights movement, in which the church became the central organizing force. The African American church played a very important role in the civil rights movement. The famous Martin Luther King, for example, was a pastor of a church. My personal observation is that the African American church is very politically engaged, and the politics that African American churches engage in tend to be more left-wing and possibly related to liberal theology. This can be seen in the numbers of the 2016 elections. Only 8% of African Americans voted for Trump. The Democratic Party, with its focus on welfare and social equality, has traditionally been supported by African Americans. The percentage of African American people who are Christian is very high, according to certain reports. I don't have the exact statistics, but I have heard that 70% of African American people in the Baltimore area are Christian. I met a number of African American pastors at our seminary. We became friends on Facebook, and I saw that many of them were staunchly anti-Trump and politically active on the left side. The African American church also has conservative members who support Trump, but they are a minority. I deeply sympathize with the struggles of the African American church throughout its history and have many close friends who are African American pastors. I have absolutely no motive here to criticize the African American church, but simply to describe my observations. My observation is that the African American church in general has been more influenced by the participation of liberal theology in society. And this, along with the rise of liberation theology in South America, has been very popular. Both had a positive impact on social change during the civil rights movement in the United States and the anti-colonial movement in South America, respectively. Both black theology and liberation theology played an important role in emancipating those who are persecuted in the U.S. and South America. But because the African American church is too focused on improving the discrimination against and status of their own race, it has also turned a blind eye to some extent, failing to see God's greater role in politics through Trump. It is through President Trump that American society has tried to stop the left and stop anti-God agendas, such as abortion and homosexuality, from dominating the political and social processes of the United States. The past and present wounds inflicted on African American Christians and the African American church are indisputable. But on the other hand, the wounds and the bitterness caused by them may also become a stronghold set up by the evil spirits. We must acknowledge the previous hurt of the African American church and people, but we must move beyond this to receive healing from the Lord. We must not allow the hurts and unforgiveness to be used by the enemy. Fifth, we will look at the views on politics of some Pentecostal preachers. Compared to evangelicals, the Christians in Pentecostal and charismatic churches are more politically engaged. I will cite only one prophet, Lance Wallnau, and in particular, the Seven Mountain Mandate, which he and others have proposed. Since I left the local church movement in 2015, I have studied and observed in different American Pentecostal churches and attended many special meetings of the Pentecostal church. I also attended many of the meetings where Lance Wallnau was a speaker, so I often listened to his messages online. His so-called Seven Mountains Mandate theory advocates that Christians actively participate in politics and other social fields, including education, religion, family, business, government, military, art, entertainment, and media. These seven fields are known as the Seven Mountains. The main argument of this theory is that Jesus calls on us to be the light of the mountains, and that Christians are to actively enter the world to be influential figures on the seven mountains, thus positively influencing society. You have to understand the state of American society in recent decades to understand where this doctrine comes from and why it has become so popular among Pentecostal churches. For decades, leftists and homosexuals in the United States have become a vocal minority because of their active participation in society and frequent protests. In the media, especially in the arts and entertainment sector, homosexuality has become a big voice. For example, a Christian baker in the United States experienced a very difficult time because he would not make a cake for a gay couple. As a result, he was sued and his business suffered. These pastors and teachers in the Pentecostal camp learned that traditional churches do not participate actively in the political process. Based on the reality of American society, they draw a conclusion that because Christians do not participate in politics and hide in an ivory tower of spiritual pursuit, it results in a vacuum. In this vacuum, anti-God people occupy the media, arts and entertainment, education, family, business, government, military, and even religion. Therefore, they actively advocated that Christians abandon the past position of not participating in politics and occupy every field with an active attitude of joining public affairs, that they be in the world, but not of the world. They encouraged each Christian to choose his own mountains to occupy, according to his own gift and God's calling, and to be an influential person on those mountains. The purpose is not for personal success, but to influence society by occupying such a mountain and becoming salt and light to the people around us. These differing views influence churches all over the country. During the 2016 election, Pentecostal preachers began supporting Donald Trump from the very early stages. In addition, he received considerable support from Christians across all denominations in the United States. Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma Magazine, a Pentecostal magazine, described the convergence of Trump and Pentecostalism in a recent article titled, "Why Most Pentecostals Back Trump." Trump, who wanted to run in 2012, sought Christian support. In the evenings when he was free, he watched Pentecostal televangelists. One of them was Paula White, a Florida-based Pentecostal evangelist. After Trump watched her show, he called Paula White. Paula White gathered a number of Pentecostal leaders, including Christian leaders gifted with the gift of prophecy, to pray for Trump. After some time in prayer, they said that God had told them that 2012 was not the right time for Trump to run, so they advised him to wait. Trump followed their advice, and in 2016, he asked them again to pray to God. When they prayed, they felt that God's time had come for Trump to go out and run. After Mr. Trump's first election, I attended a prayer gathering for him in Washington, the nation's capital, organized by the POTUS Shield. The event invited key Pentecostal leaders and many prophets to pray for President Trump after his first election. POTUS stands for President of the United States, and the group aims to offer intercessory support to Mr. Trump. One of the group's founders, Frank Amedia, a Pentecostal prophet, said he had a divine revelation while helping Mr. Trump campaign before he was elected. He wrote the prophecy in a note that he handed to Mr. Trump to read on the plane. The note read, "God says, if you humble yourself, you will be the next president of the United States." There were many such prophecies, all of which said that Trump was chosen by God. I could give you lots of examples, but that is not the point. The point I'm making is that talking about whether Christians should participate in politics right now is hard to separate from being for or against Trump. Because Trump is such a controversial figure, the United States has acquired the phrase "silent Trumpist." If you openly support Trump's words, you may be attacked, alienated, and misunderstood by the mainstream media and people around you, because so many people in society are against Trump. Many people quietly support Trump, but are afraid to express their views publicly. One man told me that he had already seen some Chinese-American churches split over their attitude towards Trump. Some churches have avoided such internal strife by taking the attitude that the church should not participate, and that individual Christians must choose their own political positions. Individual political attitudes are individual political attitudes, they argue, but the church should not take a collective stance. This would preserve the church's spiritual position and keep it from getting caught up in political disputes. But there are also people who are against this view. Don't worry that if you support Trump from the podium, your church will lose some supporters and followers, said Mario Murillo, an active advocate for churches teaching their followers to support Mr. Trump. If Mr. Biden takes office, you might lose your church. What he said is by no means an exaggeration, because the suppression of Christian power is real. If the left, represented by Biden, is in power, the Christian influence in the United States will be greatly suppressed. So, both sides are treating the presidential election as a battle to the death. I personally feel the same way. This is a decisive battle for Christian freedom in America that will decide the future of America and the future of the world. God has shown me many visions of the great revival to come, including a great revival in the United States China, and the Middle East. I am convinced that the election of President Trump is a divine intervention to prepare the international political environment for the great revival that is to come. In a strange dream, God took me to Trump's office, where I felt God's presence. I felt that this was God confirming to me that Trump was his chosen one. So at this point, I chose to actively endorse Mr. Trump. By this day, March 23, 2021, Trump is not in the White House, but I am still believing that God will intervene and bring Trump back to the White House supernaturally. But many of the people around me are deeply educated by the local church movement, so their attitude towards politics is more reserved. In addition, the local church movement does not hold an official position, leaving individuals to make their own political decisions. As a former member of the local church movement, I understand the reasons and considerations for their position. I also see individuals supporting Trump and Biden. I still agree with the view of the local church movement that we should take the lessons of the social gospel and not fall into the trap of making church a political or social organization and losing the spiritual side of it. But I personally accept the Seven Mountains theory and believe that Christians should be actively involved in politics and changing society. Churches should get involved in politics and make it clear that they are taking a stand. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Matthew 5:37. This is what the Lord Jesus himself said. Personally, I think it is wrong not to say what should be said. I know from personal experience that we often do not take a stand on many things. It is not because we do not have a stand, but because we are weak and do not dare to take a stand. We are afraid of losing the church. We are afraid of losing the status and salary of the pastor. We are afraid of losing followers. We are afraid of being persecuted if we participate in politics. We are afraid of being attacked. We are afraid of getting into disputes with people, and so on. Too often, we are afraid to engage in politics and take a stand out of fear, not spirituality. If this election is a showdown between God and Satan that will determine the future of America and the world for hundreds of years to come, then silence is appeasement, or even participation. Of course, my belief that Trump represents God's side and this election is a showdown was not formed within a day. It came after I left the local church movement and went to a lot of Pentecostal activities, special meetings, and teachings about the Seven Mountains. But many traditional churches and pastors do not teach these spiritual battles from the podium. So naturally, when election time comes, believers are left to decide for themselves. However, do not forget that many believers look at the media for information and are therefore influenced by the media. We also know that a lot of the media in the United States is opposed to God's agenda. So many Christians don't get a good spiritual education. They don't know why they should support Trump or what God's will is. In the end, many believers have made their own choices based on their own personal preferences, personal interests, and the media agenda. This, I have to say, is a natural consequence of the idea that the church does not participate in politics. Even though people say the church should not be involved in politics, the church is still involved. If the churches do not teach believers how to make right choices, many believers will be deceived by the media. In other words, the church, in the name of the church non-participation in politics, is actually abdicating their opportunity and responsibility to educate believers to make divine choices. If this election is a spiritual battle, the church that fails to educate its followers will be partly an accomplice to its enemies. So God will hold us accountable. This is not a condemnation, but a spiritual fact. The left is pro-gay and pro-choice, with millions of babies said to have been aborted in the United States over the past few decades. To support the left is to support homosexuality and abortion indirectly, which is not a position a Christian should take. And God's choice of Trump as president is just the tip of the iceberg of what God intends to do in the next few decades. The Great Revival is just around the corner, as evidenced by the many dreams and visions God has given me, and by the words spoken to me personally by the Lord and the Holy Spirit. God doesn't just say this to me. He says it to many people with prophetic gifts. But many churches do not accept the gifts of the prophets, which is part of the problem. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Proverbs 29:18. Many churches ignore the prophetic gifts that God has restored to the church in the last 100 years, especially in the last few decades, and that is why they don't hear God speak in a timely manner. The church urgently needs to reevaluate the Pentecostal movement, especially the prophetic movement, and open itself up to prophetic gifts. I know that the prophetic movement itself has a lot of issues, but they have made much progress in the last few decades. Many churches and church leaders need to pray before the Lord, ask these questions, and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. Don't forget the story of the race between the hare and the tortoise. We may become the hare while belittling the tortoise. That was the shock I felt when I went from the local church movement to the Pentecostal churches. I realized that, while I thought I knew a lot of truth in the local church movement, the Pentecostal churches have made great progress in some areas. Therefore, I strongly desire to pursue learning these truths. In addition to taking prophetic courses and healing courses, I am currently enrolled in the Randy Clark Scholar Doctoral Program at the United Theological Seminary. My project there is to compare the prophesying practices in the local church movement with the prophesying practices of the Pentecostal churches. My personal view is that the practice of prophesying in a forth-telling way in the local church movement, including prayer reading and calling on the name of the Lord, helps believers to build a foundation of biblical truth, practice good spiritual practices, and become holier. It is well worth it for other churches to learn, including Pentecostal churches. These practices can help the believers to grow more in holiness, spirituality, and life growth. At the same time, the practice of the Pentecostalist prophecy in a foretelling way can help believers unlock the gift of prophecy, receive supernatural revelation from God, provide guidance for the church to move forward, and give comfort and encouragement to individual believers. So it is well worth learning for the local church movement and other evangelical churches. The Lord Jesus appeared to me in a dream and told me that two rivers were about to converge, which was also a confirmation of what I am trying to do. Finally, we come back to Romans 13:8-10 about loving one another. I know it's hard to get involved in politics because different political views can be divisive, but this is an opportunity for us to learn more about love. I agree with Christians being involved in politics, but I do not agree with the extreme language of many Christians on the right who criticize the left. We are not engaged in a physical battle, but a spiritual one. Even those who are used by the enemy are created in God's image, and God wants them to enter the kingdom. I have been praying every morning, not only for President Trump, but also for Mr. Joe Biden, hoping that the people he represents will repent and enter the kingdom of God. Romans 13:11-12 says, "The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." To be involved in politics is not to give up love. To participate in politics requires a higher degree of love. Once you get involved in politics, you suddenly find yourself facing a lot of different people. All of this will require you to love not only those who disagree with you, but also your enemies. In other words, staying out of politics comes from a fear of exposing our inability to love. Staying out of politics is ostrich policy. It's not love. It's fear of not being able to love. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, whatever comes from fear is not from God." We will open ourselves up to more attacks when we engage in politics. Attacks come not only from people with different opinions, but also from evil spirits. Some have recognized that it is God's will for them to be involved in politics, but they are afraid to take a stand. If this is you, I pray that God will give you a strong spirit that will dare to speak and proclaim your views. Don't get caught up in any kind of political correctness or false religious masks. Yes means yes, and no means no. Don't be afraid to stand up for your biblical views. Fortunately, we have observed that this presidential election has caused many Christians to become politically active and engaged. This is also part of the will of the Lord in the process of awakening the church and believers. When the church is no longer asleep, the great revival is not far behind. So I say again that the fight over Trump's presidency is just the tip of the iceberg of many things that God is going to do in order to prepare everyone and wake up the church. Time will tell. I still believe God will intervene. I was born and raised in China, and am now a citizen of the United States. Like many Chinese immigrants, we did not have a strong desire to participate in politics in America, since we did not come from a democratic country. It took many years to become a citizen of the United States, so we usually stayed outside of American politics, since we were not citizens for many years. But things changed when I became a U.S. citizen. God called me to be involved in politics, especially in China. I knew I had a calling to evangelize China, but I had never thought of a way to participate in the democratic movement in China. However, several prophetic dreams from God caused me to reconsider my stance. In one of the prophetic dreams, I was riding a bicycle. A bicycle or other type of vehicle in a prophetic dream often represents a ministry we have. In the dream, I then saw a couple of Chinese democratic dissidents chasing me on bikes as well. I was a little uneasy as I had never involved myself with them, even in the U.S. Many Chinese immigrants take this stand as well. Some do not like them, and others are just afraid to be involved with them due to fear of family members in China being persecuted. When these dissidents finally caught me, they expressed their appreciation for my preaching and books, which greatly influenced their effort in this democratic movement. I was surprised by the dream, because they were 50 years old. I asked them how this was possible, since I myself am not over 50 years old. Later, I realized that this was a prophetic dream. God was showing me that my ministry will have a huge impact on them. In another prophetic dream, I was dropped down from the air into a chimney at my college in China. God often uses my college or other places I lived in China to represent China in my dreams. I worked at my college for a few years before I left China. This chimney is not actually at the college. These were all images to explain something. No one will come into your house through a chimney except Santa Claus. Santa Claus is a figure associated with Christmas, and Christmas is the birthday of Jesus. So this means I was trying to preach the gospel to the Chinese people. However, people in the building were so surprised to see me coming through the chimney and reacted strongly, I was forced to come back. It represented the obstacles I will be facing in preaching the gospel in China. In the next scene, I was able to miraculously land on the campus by a tree near this building with a chimney. I saw great battles happening, but eventually found myself resting on a bed. By this bed, I saw a former colleague from my college who is a member of the Chinese Communist Party, and an alumni in the U.S. who is a democratic dissident. They were talking with me in peace while I rested on the bed. I felt that this means China will have a great transformation in politics after the Great Revival in China. China may even become a democratic nation. The tension between those who support or oppose the Communist Chinese Party will be reconciled. In another recent vision I had several months ago, I was shown that a great revival will come to China. It will eventually transform China into a democratic country. In the last scene of this vision, I saw a fish-type monster wrapped in a green military uniform the size of a dolphin. It was bound and taken away by some angels. In this vision, I asked if this was the Communist Chinese Party, and the answer was yes. This vision showed me that eventually China will experience a great political change, and the gospel and revival will play an important role in it. This is all out of my norm. I was taught to not participate in politics, and I was afraid to stand for justice as well. But I started to realize that my calling to be part of this great revival in China is involved in politics, whether I am ready or not. It is like St. Patrick in the old days. His evangelizing efforts in Ireland were greatly involved with politics at that time. He was facing many dangers. Being involved in politics, especially in a country where the gospel has not been fully preached, is dirty and bloody, but it is necessary. Politics in the United States is much more civil than it was in the time of St. Patrick, or how it is now in China. It is because the American people have the firm foundation of the founding fathers of this country, and the history of Western Christian tradition and heritages. Those of us privileged to live in the United States need to realize that we are very fortunate here to have the freedom that we enjoy, so we must stand up to fight for that freedom. If this article blessed you, please consider supporting us. We have a lot of materials that need to be translated and recorded. Brother Jairus is doing this on a volunteer basis, but we still need to pay for translation and recording. Jairus Bible World Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we can provide tax-exempt receipts for your records. You can visit our website, www.jairusbibleworld.com, to donate online or send a check to P.O. Box 1643, Ellicott City, Maryland, 21041. Please make checks payable to Jairus Bible World Incorporated. You can also donate via PayPal. Our PayPal email address is info@jairusbibleworld.com. We greatly appreciate your support. Music, Acoustic Guitar 1 by Audionautix, is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License.